challenge. Yes, when Mike and I get to heaven, we want to meet this Marcellinus guy who got the letter from Athanasius. Because I can't do it without recalling his insight. So Athanasius, Archbishop of Alexandria, interpretation of Psalms. He will state, send all the books of Scripture, both Old Testament and New, are inspired by God and useful for instruction, as it is written. So we're going to want to look, all right, how is 118 useful? But to those who really study it, the Psalter yields a special treasure. You see then that all the subjects mentioned in the historical books are mentioned also in one psalm or another. But when we come to the matters of which the prophets speak, we find that these occur in almost all. Of the coming of the Savior and how, although he is God, he yet should dwell among us. Psalm 49 says, God shall come openly, even our God, and he shall not keep silence. And here's to 118. We read, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us life. When you have occasion to testify concerning God, and he lists the various psalms, and 118 is that, all fit the case. So if you want to talk about God, there's nothing better than to pick up 118 and give exegesis from that.
Yeah, awesome.
Okay. All right, we have practical application. All right. I know it sounds like we mentioned this. We mentioned Athanasius often, and we're going to mention journaling. Journaling, reminding ourselves that his mercy endures forever. It does not fade away. And we have a need of our remembering and participation with other believers. Okay, so that's, all right. So we need a body of believers. So it's not just a me and Jesus moment. Is it part of that? Sure. But it's a very wonderful thing to be around other believers who are also seeing God work in their lives.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we get so caught up in the individualism all the time that we forget the familial aspect of what it is to be a believer. And I mean, that's something that's so sad to me in a lot of ways, is how much so many Christians are kind of constantly going against one another, be it denominational differences or just preferential things. A lot of it comes down to theological debates, you know, and where they stand on certain issues. But it's so sad to me that we're not known by our love as we're called to be, you know, because I think that's one of the most beautiful aspects, is this idea of like the family of heaven constantly expanding and growing and welcoming all into the fold of just being a son or daughter of God, and how wild that is.
Yes. Yes. And if we had opportunity in some way to share our journeys with God and how he's worked in our lives, how, you know, I called on the name of the Lord and he answered me, how we faced our difficulties with the help of the Lord.
It's edifying.
It is edifying, and it's hard to... it's harder. Maybe it doesn't render it impossible, but it is harder to stand on a point of
disagreement,
opinion,
yeah,
theological difference. I mean, right? I opened this up with three different approaches to the structure, and I took issue with the subtitle. I didn't take issue, but I had a different issue that came to my soul than the one the RSV had.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone who's authentically in love with the Lord would have problems with that, right?
Right. And it's hard to focus on disagreements when you're primary objective is to offer thanks and celebration for what God's done in your life. And when you hear fellow believers do that, like, it should be simple and easy to celebrate, you know, and be encouraged by the work of the Lord and the lives of those around you, and lifted up by hearing those stories.
That is correct. We have a little bit of time. Life in the Spirit. So we did a course, my husband and I, we did a course in Life in the Spirit. So it's a series of teachings over many nights, charismatic gifts. Okay, so there's this lady, and she takes a bus, and let's say she's on the lower income level. And she had prayed to the Lord, and so there's a time of prayer. And she had prayed for a car. And the Lord, in his great goodness, provided this elderly woman with a car so she could get around to the store a little easier. And right. And so everybody, and Ted and Karen, who are kind of new to this whole idea of charismatic situations, we enter into her joy. So we're so glad she gets a car. Everybody's so glad she gets a car. And then, but the story continues, and it was that her diabetes started to get out of control because she wasn't walking and exercising.
Oh, no.
So she didn't want the car, but her son, or maybe a grandson, needed the transportation. So she gave him the car. She's back to walking on the bus. Her diabetes is better. And it was just delightful, right? Oh. It was delightful. And regardless of where one was in the spectrum of charismatic and God answering and all of that, that edifying and entering into the joy, her praise, it was just a delight.
I love that.
Oh yes, and it was years ago, and I'll never ever forget it.
Yeah.
All right. I have Saint Robert Bellarmine, another great mind. He has commentary on Psalm 118, and I just have it there as a link for those if you care to do it. And then I found this song, and I know songs, it's a matter of taste, so if this is of your taste, I offer it to you. But I tend to like the songs on Psalms. When they use the accurate words, right?
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean, we always care about translation. Some translations is just terrible. I know that. But, you know, if you got a standard translation, whichever one they're using is okay, as long as they're not adding words or taking out too much that changes the time. Mm-hmm. This one by Jason Silver uses the New Revised Standard Version, anglicized edition. So I offer that song as well.
Awesome.
Do you have any other thoughts, my friend?
I don't think a lot. I love that the very first sentence is, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And as far as practical application goes, if you're ever wondering a way to practice any of this, just begin to make a list of things you could thank God for and write it down, you know, and that alone is endless, it seems. You can just go on and on if you're willing to let Holy Spirit remind you of what a gift it is to breathe or see a tree or, you know, or have a dog or a family. Like, there's just so much to be grateful for. And I think that's such a practical application in developing more spiritually, is just prioritizing gratitude and reminding yourself there's a lot to celebrate, even though the world is constantly screaming me at all I have to lament and mourn about, you know.
That's right. And the more we, so there's some sense that we have to have, maybe I need to have certain supplies on hand, or maybe we should be going to a certain place or this. Okay, there's some sense that we need to be aware of what's going on. Absolutely. But the constant giving in to, oh my gosh, oh, that's terrible. Oh, this is,
yeah.
That feeds fear.
Exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Gives no energy.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
You're right. It gives no energy. You forget all about your all the things you have to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. You get tied up in a knot. You know, most of it is lies anyway. At least I do. Maybe, I think Micah does.
Right.
Depending on where we're looking. Don't give the enemy more credit. Don't do that. Do what Psalm 118. Go up into the temple of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Go with a choice. You know, sit down with a cup of coffee, a nice chocolate, whatever your floats your boat, and just maybe listen to this song and just marinate in His goodness, which endures forever.
Absolutely.
All right, my sweet friends. Until the next time, Fides Evratio.